welcome to the List Film Podcast. This is our eighth episode, our first episode that we're recording of 2012. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Is everybody excited? First episode now?
Okay. When this coffee kicks in, I'll be a little bit more excited.
Okay. All right. So first episode, those for the new listeners, we pick a topic, a movie topic, each week. This week's topic being favorite heist films.
Yep.
Correct. And then we list our top five. And we're four hosts. I am Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
There you go. Four of us. And this week's The Heist. Did anybody have trouble with this week's topic at all?
Yes and no. I mean, it's just a weird gray area of what you're considering a heist and what you're not considering a heist. And
yeah, yeah. If it has to actually be a whole heist movie, or if it just has to have a heist in the background, or
yeah, yeah.
And what people consider heist movies in all these top heist movie websites was very interesting.
Yeah. I went with the definition that the definition in the dictionary, you know, I kind of went with that. But also, I didn't pick anything that had to do with cons, because maybe we'll save that for, you know, our favorite con movies.
Nice.
So I saved it for that. And so hopefully we have some good lists this week. But talking about lists, we all had a little break during the holidays. Did anybody see any cool movies?
Oh, I saw a bunch of movies. Thanks to MoviePass.
Yes, MoviePass. I saw a bunch of movies because of MoviePass as well.
I was down home in San Diego, and my parents live close to a movie theater, and I think I was there every other day at one point.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Wow. So, you know, a quick rapid fire of all the movies you saw, and your...
I saw Darkest Hour. I saw We Bought a Zoo. I saw... What else did I see? There was something else.
I know you had something on Facebook about The Sitter.
Oh, yeah, I saw The Sitter.
Okay.
Oh.
I feel like there's one other. Oh, I watched We Need to Talk About We Need to Talk About Kevin,
okay.
Which is
an
interesting holiday choice.
Mm. Well, tell us, you know, if you didn't have MoviePass, how much would you pay to see these movies? So give us a movie and how much you'd pay to see it. That's
The Darkest Hour, I would pay not to see it again.
Okay.
Really?
I would pay them to burn it.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just a god-awful
movie. Did you see it in 3D?
I did.
Oh.
No, it's worse, though, because so we went to a 3D showing, and it's digital projection, and they forgot to put the 3D version on. They started the 2D version.
Oh, jeez.
And so we're sitting there watching it, and I'm like, all right, I know this movie isn't the greatest, but the 3D can't actually be this bad.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
we send someone to go to let them know that the 3D isn't on, and so they pause it. This is digital protection. They pause the movie, turn on the 3D, and rewind it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. So you had to rewatch
that.
Like,
we were 5 minutes in, and it was already just this awful exposition that I was like, all right, well, at least that's done with. But no, we had to watch it again, but this time in 3D.
Right.
Oh,
and
wow.
The 3D, once they did turn the 3D on, it looked so bad. Like, bad blue screen, like things, they didn't look real. It's like they cut them out and put them in front of a picture of Moscow at some point. So it's like, how is this?
It was like old-timey, like,
yeah,
filmmaking.
It was just not a good movie. Like, nothing really likable about it. Just bad all around. Bad effects, bad characters. I just felt sorry for the actors in the movie.
So what about We Bought a Zoo?
It's okay.
Okay.
I didn't love it.
How much would you pay to see it?
I would, like, second run matinee, like,
okay,
$6.
$6.
Because it's a family, like, I love Cameron Crowe, but it's a family movie, so, I mean, it's kind of like watered down Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
And what's the score?
Yeah.
The score or the soundtrack?
Well, because isn't it John Z that does?
He does, but it's weird because it just kind of all blends together. It just sounds like a mixtape. I mean, it's like most Cameron Crowe things. It just sounds like you're listening to someone's college radio mixtape. I like that was fine. Jonesy's music is great.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's some footage from the Sugar Rose movie in it at some point, like Red Kites or something, which I guess is in the Sugar Rose movie.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a Sugar Rose movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
So it was okay. And then the sitter, I enjoyed the sitter. I thought it was funny. I don't see why it's got such a low rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, it's not the greatest movie, but I was entertained.
Okay. And what, like $7? How much would you pay?
Again, like second run matinee showing.
$6, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one you saw was...
We Need to Talk About Kevin, which was amazing.
Okay.
It was, I mean, it's not the greatest movie to watch when you're, you know, hanging out with your family and like trying to be cheery and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's a really great film.
Really?
Very, just so much going on. Great sound design. Tilda Swinton's amazing. It's an awesome movie.
Awesome. And if you want to hear, if you want to read detailed reviews of these films, head over to shootingthescript.wordpress, which is Adam's his own site where he reviews movies.
Yeah, shootingthescript.wordpress.com.
.com.
The reviews will be up at some point.
Yeah. Kevin, anything other than that that you saw?
I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yes. We saw that together. I enjoyed it. We saw it using MoviePass.
Yes.
But I would definitely pay $15 to see it.
So you got MoviePass now too?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did get MoviePass.
I actually did, since you're only allowed to see the movie once, yeah. I actually did pay to see it a second time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you saw, oh, you already saw it.
Yeah, I already saw a second. I actually paid to see it.
I'm jealous. I can't wait till Jenny sees it. That way I could see it again.
Yeah, this week.
So, and then we saw Tintin and Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
So for Tintin, it was really entertaining. It was fun. The 3D was cool. I would definitely pay the, whatever, $15 to see it in 3D. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. I really like that one, too.
I saw it as well, right?
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
And then Sherlock Holmes,
I wasn't impressed.
Yeah. There was no mystery to be solved.
Yeah.
This one was much more action-y than the first one, which is weird with Moriarty. It's like you got Moriarty.
Yeah.
And then he just becomes an action supervillain.
Yeah.
He's not.
And he's a good boxer for some reason.
Yeah.
So, I would definitely, that'd be a second run movie.
I will actually openly admit that at a certain point during the movie, I said, you know what, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to take a nap.
I did too. And I took a nap. I will admit, I fell asleep for a second. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
You're like, it's an hour in.
I was like, you know what, I'm okay. I can take a nap for a second.
I just had my turkey dinner for Christmas and that turkey kicked in a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you guys didn't, I'm glad you guys didn't go see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo for your Christmas movie.
Yeah, so you can see it again.
That would have been awkward.
Yeah.
So yeah.
With the parents.
Yeah. You know. What else do we have for this week? We have we usually have a movie recommendation of the week from Netflix. You know, hopefully MoviePass or Netflix will maybe come
maybe
and sponsor.
Like both of them will maybe just both. Sponsor. Yeah.
Double time.
Like
yeah.
Tag team.
That's an interesting phrasing.
Jenny. Jenny has the stream of the week, which is...
Yeah, I just finished season one of Portlandia, and that is now on... That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
It has to be. And that's on Netflix. And
it's Portlandia.
Portlandia. It's only like 6-7 episodes, something like that. They're real quick to get through. You can watch them in a night, and really funny.
It's 6 episodes, half hour each, so...
Yeah, it's like Fred Armisen's version of a sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
With that girl, what's her name?
I don't know.
Carrie Brownstein.
Yes,
she was in Sleater-Kinney.
She's really funny.
It's good.
So there you go.
She's on a podcast. She does All Songs Considered for NPR every once in a while.
Oh, really?
They're really funny too. She does it with I can't remember the names of everyone else on that podcast, but that's a good podcast also.
Yeah, no, I didn't know she was actually on that podcast. I will now have to download all of them.
Yeah,
she's not on all of them. She's like a guest.
Yeah. So now I have to find her. There you go, stream of the week, Portlandia, and should we get into the list? Let's get into the list because these episodes have been running long. Let's get to it this time.
All right.
Who wants to go first? Who went first last time?
You,
Brian.
Brian,
because he was guest.
Brian. All
right, so we're gonna be waiting a while.
Our guest,
because he's not here.
Yeah. And thanks to, I never got a chance to thank Brian for coming in for 2 episodes and. Being our guest host.
We give him a hard time, but I thought he did a really good job.
He did do a good job.
He put up with you guys very well.
That's the thing, that we give him a hard time, but he's a nice guy. And again, you could find him and Adam at shootingthescript.wordpress.com. All those links on our website, we'll give it to you at the end of the show. But let's start the list. Let's start with Jenny, since she's been gone.
All right. So my number 5 is from 95. The Usual Suspects.
Nice.
And that's just one of my favorite movies. Is that okay that I called that a heist movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is.
I have it as an honorable mention.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
I have it as an honorable mention because I did see it popping up. But yeah. I mean, I love the movie. I just feel like I haven't seen it enough. Like, yeah. It's such a dense movie. I feel like I could watch it a lot more times.
Yeah, to get the whole
plot
twist at the end, I guess. You want me to do a... I'll do the summary real quick.
We always do the IMDb summary. So sometimes they're not up to par to what the movie really is.
Right.
the synopsis.
I feel like we can just start summarizing ourselves. Be like, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, they get together. They decide to steal something.
I think
hijinks ensue.
I think the IMDb ones are really funny because sometimes they're posted by, you know, the public. So they're kind of funny.
Yeah.
Read it.
Okay. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist. What?
That's the other thing about IMDb. They do the tagline sometimes instead of a synopsis.
Yeah. So, I mean, it comes down to five suspects coming into a police station because they all get blamed for a crime, and then the heist occurs while they're there, pretty much, I guess.
Yeah,
side of it, and then...
Well, he's recounting the story.
Yeah.
It's a whodunit, and it's
told by one of the characters as a story, so...
Who's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, so. It's pretty funny. I enjoy it. I like the cast a lot.
Yeah, and I believe that was his second movie, right?
Yeah, it was his second movie.
Yeah, his first being Public Access.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It also has a great script by Christopher McQuarrie.
Yes.
Oh.
And he's working on Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Who's directing it now? Oh, that's right. James Mangold is directing it.
That's right.
So. Your boy.
Yeah.
Well, I like Christopher McQuarrie because I really like The Way of the Gun.
Yes.
I do. You know what? It's funny. I went to see him in a Q&A for Valkyrie, and he was talking about how he's like, for the usual suspects, he's after the premiere, I couldn't take a step in front because everybody was right next to me congratulating me, what a great script, blah, blah, blah. He's like, at the end of the premiere for Way the Gun, I couldn't touch, if I threw something 10 feet, it wouldn't touch anybody. He's like, nobody was near me.
I don't know why.
I really love that movie.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it,
yeah.
But I remember I saw it in theaters and I loved it. I bought the DVD and I watched it.
Yeah.
I bought the VHS and I wore it down. Like, I watch it all the time. And then I bought it again on DVD. I really like that movie. It's been a while, but I don't really think that my love of that movie has waned any.
I think that's
fun.
That's the movie where I started liking Ryan Phillippe. Where I'm like, oh, this guy isn't just, you know, from...
He's not just a face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not just Cruel Intentions guy.
Yeah, and he had also done that horror movie, the I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So. That's right.
But
I think he's only in the first one. Spoiler.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey-o.
Now you spoiled it for somebody who hasn't seen part three.
And, there was a part three, really.
I think there was.
And, I'll always know what you did last summer.
Yeah, that's right. There is a part three. I noticed that, you know, I did get it on DVD and hearing the commentary and watching it again. He's doing like young Al Pacino. His voice is like, it sounds like Al Pacino from The Godfather if you really listen to it. But anyway, so where are we? My number five?
Yeah.
Right? So my number five is, let me see, I have my list, is 1992's Reservoir Dogs.
Nice.
That's my number. What number is it?
What number is it? What number is your? Is it on yours?
My number three.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So
that's another one that I was like, you don't really see the heist much.
That's why it's not on. Like, it's an honorable mention because I almost wanted to do a list of movies that take place entirely after the heist. Like, the heist is in hindsight because it's a heist. It's after the fact of the heist.
Yeah,
but it's a great movie.
It is.
For me, it's one of my favorite Tarantino movies, just because it's the most, I feel, the closest one to an original piece that he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. It's such a great cast, and you know, you hadn't, those actors hadn't really been overused as character actors. You know, you have, who is it? Javier Keitel, Steve Buscemi.
Tim Roth,
Michael Madsen,
and Penn, Christopher Penn, Chris Penn, and just such great actors. And then you have a real life criminal in the cast, Eddie Bunker, who's really cool and who's like just in the beginning of the movie. But it was such a cool movie. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites for sure.
And again, it's a movie where you never see the heist. You see before. You see a lot of before the heist and after the heist, but they just cut out that chunk.
Plus, you see like different characters' points of views.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah. And you see right after the heist because you see them coming out of the jewelry store. Yeah. But you never see them actually inside.
Yeah, which, I love all the twists.
Yeah, another cool twists.
Lots of twists.
And
who do you trust?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Do you want me to just read the thing?
Read the synopsis.
Okay. Seven total strangers team up for the perfect crime. They don't know each other's name, but they've got each other's color. And it's in every single word is a capital letter.
Oh, wow.
So it's like starts with a capital, every single word. So we should, write like that more often.
No. When things are in all caps, except for like Film Crit Hulk. Because he writes in all caps. But otherwise, I feel like you're yelling at me.
I know.
Yeah, me too. Like, whoa, slow down there. Why are you so upset?
Well, I mean, this is an important plot summary to yell at someone. You really want to get it across.
So that's my number five and Jenny's number three. So, yeah. Kevin, you're number five.
My number five comes from 2006. And it's directed by Spike Lee. And it's Inside Man.
Ah, that's my number one.
Nice.
Yes.
Honorable mention.
That is... That was my honorable mention as well.
Okay, yeah. It was battling between the number six and like my honorable mention and being number five, and then I rewatched it just to get it in my head, and it became number five. It's great. Yeah. Rewatching this, I just have to say that I really just was in awe of Denzel. Just every time you see him on screen, you're just in awe of him, and just of how great of an actor he really is, and how he just embodies the character that he's playing.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I love Clive Owen in it too.
Clive Owen is great, and I love the scenes.
One of my favorite roles of his.
Of those two together, when they're like kind of playing cat and mouse, and Denzel's trying to get info out of him, and just the way they play off each other is terrific.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
sure.
It's weird to think that it's a Spike Lee, like it's a change of pace for Spike Lee that I really like. Like it's a different aspect of his filmmaking that I really appreciate.
The only critique I have, and this was when I rewatched it, it popped in my head, was his dolly shot where the character is on the dolly and he's going with it. Mm-hmm. The one time I think the only time I've ever watched one of his films I didn't like it was when Denzel comes out of the command center and he's on it and it's supposed to be like him kind of running as they're doing the dolly. It just kind of throws me out of that scene for a second.
Well, I never really thought of it that it was supposed to be him running. I mean, to me, it works in the context of what had just happened in the scene. But yeah. I mean,
it's kind of like Tarantino's, he uses that shot of the trunk from inside the trunk. And this is like Spike Lee's, like, his signature shot.
I love it.
I really enjoyed it in 25th Hour.
Yes.
I thought it was really well used in that. But
It was kind of a misplacement.
It felt weird. I agree. And that's the only critique I have about the movie, because otherwise I would love the movie. I love the story. I love how it ends. Mm-hmm. That's the only critique I have.
I feel like it's supposed to feel weird because his world was just turned upside down because he thought he knew what was going on and then it wasn't. And so it's supposed to be...
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like, oh, shit just got real. And now it's sucking him into it. I don't know. I like it.
Shit just got real. I just know. But you saying that, I just imagine Will Smith in this part now.
Shit just got
and
real.
And he says, Martin Lawrence.
That's a different director's stereotypical camera move.
Yes.
With the reverse reveal while the camera's rotating around you. Shit just got real.
Yeah. I actually want to see that movie. Instead of Denzel and Chiwetel Ejiofor, I want to see. Will and Martin Lawrence.
Bad Boys 3.
Those two in Inside Man. Just trying to solve a murder, and Martin Lawrence just being like, shit just got real, dude. Someone just died, dude. But it's a really cool movie. I really enjoyed it. And it's really interesting how, he tells you in the beginning how he did it. And still you're like, it's funny with these heist movies or like the whodunits. You're like, you're trying to figure it out, and it's always the simplest answer, but your head always goes to, no, then there's this other guy. No, it's just, well, he was just in a little cell. But anyway, so it's to you?
To me. Number five. All right. So my number five, 1992, Sneakers. Mm-hmm. Phil Alden Robinson. I love this movie so much. I feel like some people, it gets a bad rap. But I just saw it. I saw it really early on. I saw it, I think, around the year it came out. And so I was 9. And I just loved it right away. And so I maybe it's that nostalgia factor where I still love this movie despite whatever faults it might have.
It's a fun movie. It I think is. We briefly talked about it in spy movies, right?
Yeah, yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Because all the CIA, NSA.
Yeah. But stuff. It is cool. It's a cool like heist movie at the end. And even when...
Well,
the,
I mean, there's two heists in it because they have to steal it twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cool but cast. I love the cast.
Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier.
David Strathairn.
River Dan Phoenix. Aykroyd, River Phoenix. Yeah. Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, that's right.
And who am I forgetting? I forgot her last time, too.
Yeah, we forgot.
Mary McDonnell.
Yep.
But it's such a fun movie. And just, it's got like the classic heist where you got to get the perfect team together. And they've got all the impossible situations to get around. And the security system that's impossible to pass. And it's just so much fun.
And everybody's needed. You have the blind guy who does everything through sound. And he figures things out. And
he figures out how the device works.
Yeah.
That's right. It's that awesome ragtag group. That pulls the heist off.
Yeah.
And you're just rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah. It is a really fun movie. I enjoy it a lot.
One of my favorite memories of high school, I was in a computer programming class, and one day the teacher came in and he said, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to watch Sneakers. And I watched Sneakers, which was great.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. That's not a Robert Redford directed movie, right?
No. Phil Alden Robinson.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Jenny, you're number 4. All right.
My number 4 is from 1988, A Fish Called Wanda.
Damn you. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's my number 4.
Really?
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I just rewatched it, actually. It'd been a while since I watched it, and so I rewatched it for this because I knew I remembered I liked it so much.
Well, it's just such a great
it's
movie.
So
And
so
again,
good.
Like this and Reservoir Dogs were the two main contenders for wanting to make a list. It's everything's after the heist happens. Yeah. But it's such a fun movie.
It is.
You've got John Cleese and
I
Michael
love
Palin,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. She's so funny.
Kevin Kline,
yes.
Kevin Kline just owns this movie.
Oh, yeah.
With his crazy idiocy. Just being, don't call me stupid. Don't call me stupid. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Kevin Kline makes everything cooler. Like, I remember him. I remember watching Orange County. Is it Jake Kasdan movie?
Yeah.
And he comes out as, like, a college professor, university professor, and
I forgot
he
about
and,
that.
And
oh
once for he like, comes in, you're like, oh, he gave like he legitimized this movie that was like kind of like
for
this,
all
like,
30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh wow, it's a really cool movie now because he's in it now. So
yeah,
it's a fun movie. What year was that again?
88. Yeah,
it's cool. And then there's a sequel to.
It's not a sequel. It's just the same group.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's not the same characters.
Oh really?
No, it's just the same actors. Totally different movie. Fierce Creatures.
Oh, really?
It's just that team coming back together to make another movie.
Did anybody... Well, I thought it was a sequel, so...
It's not a sequel. It's funny. It's different. It's not... Yeah, it's nothing... It's Fierce Creatures is about, like, a zoo that they're trying to keep going out of business.
It's got everyone in the same cast?
Everyone is... Yeah,
wow,
the whole... Kevin Kline, John Cleese, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Michael Palin are
all
together.
Yeah.
But totally different movie. Completely separate.
I was fooled. I haven't seen the other one, so... Fierce Creatures, I haven't seen, so...
Yeah, me neither.
So we're number 4.
You're number
my number 4.
Yeah.
My number 4 is 1999's Three Kings. You nice. I guess you could classify this as a war movie, but I classify this as a heist movie.
Well, I
mean there is a heist and
it's a heist movie.
Yeah.
Well, cuz Kelly's Heroes is a heist movie during a war, and that's an honorable mention for me also. So it's Three Kings cuz
So Three Kings is a movie directed by David O. Russell. It's his first, second
Spanking
movie.
The Monkey was his first.
Second movie. It's got George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, and Ice Cube. And he's in it for the most of the movie, Spike.
Yeah,
Spike,
and he's great. He's great
Spike
in
Jones.
The movie.
Yeah. He's such a good actor, and I'm surprised he doesn't get more work. You know, he had a cameo in this year's Moneyball.
Yeah.
Oh, who was he? I don't know if I would recognize him.
His ex-wife's husband.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. And and it's funny because he always plays like these like timid, like nerdy characters, but he played like this kind of like cocky guy in Moneyball, which was a little
cocky idiot.
Yeah. And so I really enjoy this movie, and it's about, I'll read the synopsis. In the aftermath of the Persian Gulf War, four soldiers set out to steal gold that was stolen from Kuwait. But they discover people who desperately need their help. And it's a cool movie. They steal Saddam's gold. and then they get involved with these like refugees, and it's a really cool movie. It's not only, I mean, the heist is just like the first half, but the, you know, throughout the whole, I really enjoy Ice Cube in this movie for some reason. He's really, you know, in kind of like a serious role.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he did more of that stuff instead of Anaconda.
But it's so good.
But yeah, so.
Wait, that's not a heist movie? Anaconda?
No.
Damn
no.
it.
No. Well, they're Anaconda, not trying Anaconda, to steal a snake.
Anaconda 3.
No, I thought the snake was trying to steal them.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that was the character I was rooting for during that movie, was the Anaconda.
Not J-Lo?
Nope.
Three Kings has a really cool cast. Also, the you know, the other, the
supporting
characters. God,
Judy Greer.
Judy Greer.
Nora Dunn.
Was it Jamie Kennedy?
Cliff Curtis.
Oh. Cliff Curtis. That's right. So it's a really fun movie, and check it out if you haven't. And Clooney is awesome. He's Clooney. Yet, I mean, for the exception of Batman and Robin, he's got a pretty cool record. Except for that and Peacemaker. Okay. I'll give you those two. Batman and Robin and Peacemaker. But besides that,
What about that new one that he was in? American something. It was like
the American?
Last year.
The American.
I loved The American.
Was that one good?
That's a great movie.
I haven't
seen it. Anton Corbin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, great movie.
It just came out like this year, right?
It was last year. 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a lot of people didn't like that movie.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
If I had made a list, it would have been on my top 10 of that year.
If the show was on last year, it would have made it. So that's it. That's 1999's Three Kings. Kevin.
Okay, my number four comes from 2000, and it's Sexy Beast.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable mention.
Some more Ben
Kingsley. I've only seen it one time all the way through, and I loved it. I don't have that familiarity with it where it could be on my list, but it's a great movie.
It is a great movie, and the one thing I have to say is Ben Kingsley. He is terrifying in this movie, and I can understand why Ray Winston's character and everybody's characters scared of him, because you don't know what he's gonna do. He's just sitting there watching him, and he's got his little twitches, and you're just waiting for like this powder keg to just explode and just start kicking somebody or stabbing somebody or shooting somebody, just doing something to harm someone.
I'd like to see his character in this and Joe Pesci's character from Casino,
yeah,
or Goodfellas. Yes. One of those characters.
All
in a room
three characters
together.
Hanging out.
Well, that would just be... I feel like if Joe Pesci from Casino and Joe Pesci from Goodfellas were in a room together, they would kill each other.
Yeah. I'm picturing a sitcom, like a weekly sitcom where they're roommates.
Or three men and a lady.
Yes.
A remake, there but with go. Those three characters.
I like it.
Yeah. And it's the Christmas season, and they go to get that special gift, like the Tickle Me Elmo. And they're like beating people down at the store.
Stabbing people in the neck with pens.
Yeah.
No, making this list, I wanted to watch Sexy Beast again because I'm like, I don't remember it enough, but I know that I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Great score by Uncle, who's like an electronic band that the director had directed a music video for them. But the score is great. The plot of the film is brutal gangster Don Logan recruits retired safecracker Gail to one last job, but it goes badly for both of them. But yeah, I mean, it has some crazy dream sequences where Gail is constantly kind of like seeing like almost like a demon or death kind of just wanting to catch up with him and wanting to get him. But yeah, I mean, the scenes with Rainy Winstone is great as well. Ian McShane's in it, and he's great, and you kind of don't know what he's thinking, and you're kind of a little scared of him in the movie as well.
And they say cunt a lot.
They do say cunt a lot. Yes.
Well, yes. It's a British film, so. I kept thinking, this is Gandhi. Gandhi's a badass.
Yeah.
Every time I see Ben Kingsley, I just automatically say that.
Just Ben Kingsley just being
he's
a badass.
He's so good.
Yeah.
At everything he does.
He is. Yeah. I can't wait to see him in The Dictator, because he has a small part with Sacha Baron Cohen. So, but yeah, Sexy Beast, I love it. That director did
he did Birth.
That's right.
I really enjoyed Birth.
Yeah. I've only seen part. I haven't seen it all the way through. I've only seen pieces of it because everybody just kept shitting all over that movie.
It's a Nicole Kidman movie, right?
Yeah.
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 It's different. I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's not like one of my favorite movies, but I thought it was an interesting movie. It's got the tone and the feel and the look of that movie are kind of amazing.
That's what I got from the trailer. It seemed like there was just a great atmosphere to it.
Very good cinematography. I don't remember who shot it, though.
I think it was the guy who did Seven. I think. I'm not sure. But also, he just came out with another one with Rangwin Stone, didn't he? Like 44-inch chest. Is that his movie?
No, I don't think that was. Because I was looking up. What he has something coming out.
I think that had a feel to it. I think that's what I was thinking. That it had a very like sexy beast feel to it. Yeah, but anyway.
His next movie supposedly comes out this year.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And he's a music video director.
Yes. That's right. He's done a lot of music. Did a lot of like Radiohead and That's Uncle. Right. Yeah, he's done a lot of music videos that are very cool.
So, and what, I forgot his name. What is his name?
It's Jonathan Glazer.
That's right. All those guys that came out with the box sets of music videos.
Yeah, he's got
really,
one.
Really cool. Yeah. And didn't Anton Corbin get one too?
Yep.
Anton Corbin, Spike Jonze, Michel Gondry.
Mark Romanek. There's some other people in there as well.
I didn't get a chance to see Mark Romanek's movie with Spider-Man kid. Never Let Me
Andrew
Go.
Garfield. Oh, yes. It's interesting. It's another movie that it looks really cool. Great cinematography. Not my favorite movie. Really? Like, it's got its ups and downs. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Awesome. Oh, I got
a solid B.
Really? That's still on my list of things to see from last year. Ugh. All right. So who's number four? Where are we at?
My number four was Fish Called Wanda also.
Oh.
So it's
nice.
On to your number
and
three.
My number Jenny. Three was Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, so wow.
Overlapping.
Right back to Ricardo.
We are going to be done in an hour.
Yeah. So my number three is another Clooney movie.
Nice.
Yeah. It's 1998's. Out of Sight.
God damn you.
Nice.
Is it on your list?
That's my number three.
So let's talk about it. It's again, this guy was on my list of favorite directors a couple of episodes ago.
And what was his name again?
Yeah.
Steven Soderbergh?
Soderbergh,
yeah.
Steven Soderbergh.
And it's Peter Andrews, actually.
Peter Andrews, that's right. His other, that's what he uses for cinematography, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's what he gets credited as. But let's talk about it.
I remember this was one of those movies that my whole family went and saw, and we all loved it. It's just such a fun, dark, comic movie. I mean, it's so much, Jennifer Lopez, I think this is her best movie. Like, yes. If you look at her, I don't know if they still have it on Rotten Tomatoes, but they had that graph where it shows you, like, their highest points and their lowest points, yes. And it's weird. She's got, like, Selena is a nice little point, and then it peaks it Out of Sight, and then it's all downhill from there. Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, it's all about, I think it's all about like the directors that have gotten good performances out of her. And it's the guy from Selena who's fairly decent, and the Steven Soderbergh, who is amazing, and who directed her in this. And this was Clooney's and the director's first collaboration, right?
Yeah.
Then they went on to do a bunch of
crap. Then they started a bunch of cool stuff. Production company together.
Yes, right. Which now disbanded, I think.
Yeah.
But this is a great heist movie. It's got an amazing cast.
Yep.
It's got Don Cheadle. It's got Ving Rhames. It's got
Dennis Farina.
Steve Zahn. Michael Keaton. He plays the same character because this movie's based on an Elmore Leonard novel.
Yeah.
And so is Jackie Brown. And he plays the same character in both movies.
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton, Steven Zahn, who else?
Albert Brooks,
Luis that's right.
Guzman.
That's
Luis
right.
Guzman.
Isaiah and Washington. Before he did or did not call someone a faggot.
Yeah, on Grey's Anatomy. So it's got an amazing cast, and I really love Don Cheadle's character in this, especially at the end when he's
Snoopy.
Snoopy.
Yeah, because I don't go by Snoopy anymore. But such a great. And then also,
did we say Catherine Keener?
We didn't.
Catherine
Gaynor's
great in this movie as Adele. His ex-wife,
yeah.
Who is the magician's assistant. And she steals every scene that she's in.
Right.
She's so funny.
I love that whole, like, when they're in Miami. It's just so, and Luis Guzman trying to get into the house, and it's just really funny. Luis Guzman and everything is peppered and everything is fun. Even in, like, Waiting.
He's really funny in Waiting.
Yeah. But I really like Albert Brooks in this because he's wearing like prosthetics. And when
I
first saw it, I'm like, no, that's not him. That's not the guy from I'm blanking out here. His movie he directed with.
He's directed more than one.
Yeah.
The one he directed with Meryl Streep.
Oh, Defending Your Life.
Yes. Oh, my God. Such a good movie. And one of my favorite movies. But I'm like, that's not the guy from Defending Your Life. No, it's not.
Well, because he's playing. he's playing bald, wearing a wig,
yeah,
and he's got fake teeth, yeah, and some, I do feel like there's a little something going on with the nose.
Yeah.
But there, he's just so great.
Yes.
He's so, like, the scene in the library when they're discussing the fee for Don Cheadle's character getting him a goldfish, and everything just gets out of hand.
Oh, man. He's so funny, and just such a great movie.
It feels like, I'm not sure if it was, but it feels like they had moments that were ad-libbed or improv, because everything just feels so natural.
Yeah.
And it's got that great cast, and they just work really well together.
Yeah, the chemistry is great with everybody on the set.
And the I just recently got it on Blu-ray, and the cinematography is amazing. It's just, and it's
The editing.
Is
that scene, their first date or whatever, quote-unquote, when, like, they meet each other in the bar in Detroit. And it cuts back and forth between them talking in the bar to them in the bedroom together.
That's right.
And then do the freeze frames. That's some of the best editing ever. Just that artistic choice to do that. I think it's really great. And they do the freeze frames.
Yeah. And the cinematography where they're, when they're having dinner and the, like, the snow's falling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And also when they go to, I think it's Detroit, to meet Snoopy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like got this, like, Michael Mann blue filter on, and it looks amazing. I enjoy it. And it just feels like it's really cold. Like, some movies take place in the winter and everybody's bundled up, but it doesn't feel like it's, you with the cinematography, like, you feel like, damn, I better put on a coat. It's kind of cold.
And it's a surprising movie, too.
I
think the comedy kind of accents these darker moments where they just kind of hit you out of nowhere, or, like, when someone gets shot or when things get violent, it's just like that just totally blindsides you.
And
a testament to the writing and the directing. It's just the way he blindsides you like that.
And I mean, the casting is just everybody's top notch in this.
Now that I'm talking about it more, I feel like it should be number one.
Yeah. What did we do? Why do we put it in for number?
I don't know. What are we doing with our lives?
I know. Jeez. Let's go reevaluate this while Kevin does his number three.
Okay. My number three comes from 1956. And it's The Killing.
Honorable mention.
Yes, honorable mention.
Am
I the only one that doesn't have it? I've only seen it one time, and I wasn't that into it when I saw it. I felt bad. I'm like, I really liked some of the moments in the movie, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing movie I've ever seen.
I wouldn't say it's the most amazing movie I've ever seen, but it's definitely one of my favorite heist films.
Okay.
I love the storytelling. I love the aspects of showing each character arriving to the heist. And how their part of the heist is acted out. I love the directing in it, and the writing is terrific. And Sterling Hayden's performance, he's great. There's another movie that I'll mention later that's an honorable mention, where he plays these characters that have, like, a hope for, like, going home and a hope for the past, but he's still got that tough, brutish hood attitude, and he does such a great job of playing that character.
And what year was this? Did you say what year it was?
1956. And the plot is crooks plan and execute a daring racetrack robbery.
I love the ending of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of the best endings ever.
Yeah, the ending is terrific, and it just shows you that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Even when you think everything's going well, everything just goes wrong.
Yeah.
How far along was this in Kubrick's films?
This was, I want to say it was before Paths of Glory. It was after Killer's Kid. I think it was like number two, I think. It was after, or maybe it was after Lolita as well. It was around that time, though. But it was before Paths of Glory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really cool movie, but definitely in my honorable mention.
Yeah, it's good.
Got other things on here that are fun.
I feel like I need to throw in things because two of mine have already been... not even other people's list. Like, I'm just gonna, can I just move honorable mentions up off of honorable mention?
Do it. Go for it. Yeah.
All right. So never mind. Fish Called Wanda and Out of Sight. That never happened. I'm gonna do this movie, 1968, called The Split, which is a great, great little heist movie. It's kind of a pseudo blaxploitation movie. I feel like it gets that just because it was 1968, and they make Jim Brown plays the lead. Like, oh, well, Jim Brown's the lead, so they're exploiting it, so it's blaxploitation. You know, there you go. But then on top of that, you've got Ernest Borgnine. You've got Julie Harris is in it. Gene Hackman, Jack Klugman, Warren Oates. It's Donald Sutherland. It's got a great cast. Have anyone else?
I have not seen this.
It's a great movie. Jim Brown plays McClane, and he tries to get this group together to rob... the this is how 68. So it's when the Coliseum is where the Los Angeles Rams play.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they're going to rob the Coliseum during the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And it's great. And like, they got all like getting the team together and they don't trust each other and they've had bad blood and they've like pull things off, but then there's double cross and someone loses the money and someone hides the money and they all blame Jim Brown for not getting it. And it's a fun movie and just this great cast. Jim Brown's a great actor.
Yeah.
It's fun. You should check it out. It's a really great fun flick.
The Split. I'm definitely gonna check that
out. Yeah.
Definitely on the list now.
Yeah. All right. Are we on to number 2 already?
I think, yeah, right? That was our number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my number 2 is, like, the first time I saw it, right after I saw it, I immediately said this is one of my all-time favorite heist movies. And I just saw it recently. Not recently. I guess it was, like, a few months ago was the first time I saw it. But
3,000 Miles to Graceland?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
No. it's Bottle Rocket.
Nice. I glanced over to your iPad and I thought, and it's my number 2.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry.
Well, at least we're on the same number. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. That's true. So we'll just get it done together.
It's my number 2 as well. What is it? What year is it? 1996. 96. And it's yeah. Wes Anderson's first feature
yeah.
length film. And it's with Wes Anderson, Andrew Anderson, their brother.
Yeah.
So he plays Future Man. And Scott Kahn is not Scott Kahn.
Scott, yeah, Scott Kahn.
James Kahn.
And James Kahn, yeah.
James Kahn and Luke Wilson is in it.
Yeah, I can't believe they got James Kahn to be in it.
And no, I just saw the Blu-ray, which Kevin gave me for Christmas last year. And they're interviewing, these interviews were done just like about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And they're interviewing James Kahn. They're asking him, like, you know, what did you agree to do this movie? And he's like, oh, you know, they called me. And so I just showed up to Texas and I did 2 days and I went home. And I didn't,
think
anything
didn't
of
even
it.
Know yeah. them yet.
Didn't even know all. Who they were or anything. Just I thought it was. I don't think he even had an idea of what. I don't think he read the script. He's like, 2 days. Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah,
it.
2 days yeah. in Texas. Sure.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah,
but
anyways.
it's really really funny movie. It's about these. Read the synopsis.
All right, they're not. Well, okay. This I guess it's a tagline. Are they just putting taglines on here now? Okay, they say they're not really criminals, but everyone's got to have a dream.
See, you're reading like the
well,
tagline.
Where's the thing?
See, it says plot summary. It says
where is it?
Focusing on a trio of friends and their elaborate plan to pull off a simple robbery, then go on the run.
I see it now.
Or on the lam.
I just got my iPad. Okay, I'm just learning. I'm sorry. I'm still learning the IMDb app. All right, so that's the plot summary.
And it's just such a funny movie. It's again like what can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah. In a
absolutely
really comedic
hilarious.
Way.
Yeah.
And Wes Anderson, just like deadpan humor, just amazing, amazingly funny.
And
as Dignan.
Luke Wilson does a great job of just like warming your heart in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I love. He's, are you in the army?
No, man, I just have short hair.
I just have short hair.
When I first saw it, I didn't really like Bottle Rocket, but really? I rewatched it a few years after and I fell in love with it. It's a great, fun, quirky little just
yeah.
slice of Wes Anderson's id.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's I feel like it was before he went Wes Anderson-ish as I like to call
well,
it.
It's before he had the time and money to
yeah.
be so OCD anal retentive
yeah.
about
yeah.
like he didn't have enough money to throw at everything to control everything.
Yeah. Now I wish I could I mean, I love this movie as it is, but I kind of want to see the Wes Anderson, you know, with money version of it, of how he would have done it if he had mm-hmm. all the money. But I think it's one of my favorite Wes Anderson movies because I could watch it any – I don't have to be in a mood. I have to be in a mood to watch Royal Tenenbaums because
mm-hmm.
it gets a little depressing at the end. But this movie, I could watch it anytime, anywhere. I could just put it on. If it's playing on TV, I could just sit down and watch it all. And
yeah.
I'm always in the mood for it. It's always funny. And I have a hard time waiting for the end because I'm like, I just went forward to the end. It's so
I think
funny.
It's his cheeriest movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, definitely.
It is.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. It's his most optimistic movie.
Yeah.
That ends like in a kind of good note.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
And I really like Pagoda. Because I lost my touch, man. I lost my touch. So, you haven't touched the loop. So
So good.
Every line is so quotable, and it's such a great movie when he's getting his ass kicked in the pool hall. I'm going to call my gang. Just one guy. But check it, if you haven't seen it, check it out. Bottle Rocket. It's a cool, funny heist movie.
Yeah. Good.
Did you want to add anything to that?
No, I kind of
took over your number two. It was my number two.
I'm sorry.
Kevin, you're number two.
Okay, my number two. I had a hard time deciding whether to make this number two or number one, and the movie that I picked as my number one, and it just really came down to which movie I've watched more and which movie I would necessarily sit down and watch more. But my number two I love, and when I saw it, I was just blown away, and it's from 1955, and it's called Rififi.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Honorable mention.
I saw that popping up. I haven't seen Rififi.
It's terrific. I mean, as a heist movie, it has, you know, some of the, a lot of the similar characteristics, but the characters are terrific, and the way the heist plays out and the way the movie ends are fantastic.
Is it French or?
It's French, yeah. Okay. It's actually directed by, he has a French name, but he was actually an American director, and he was blacklisted, and he went to France to start making movies, and this is the first movie he made when he was in France. But and he made it with a bunch of no-name actors. But the main character, his name is Tony. The guy who plays him is great. The plot is four men plan a technically perfect crime, but the human element intervenes. And like I said, it has a lot of the same. They're planning the heist. Someone gets a little mouthy and starts talking to somebody else about the heist, and that screws things up. But the way it's directed is terrific. The entire heist, I mean, throughout a lot of the movie, there's a lot of music, but the heist itself is silent. There's no music at all. It's just the sound of them tiptoeing around and having to go through this heist that takes about 8 hours to do. But there's this great scene where they're towards the end of the heist, and they've had to chisel through the basement, through the floor, to get into the actual place where they're stealing. They had to move a safe, and now they're drilling through a safe. So it cuts to all these close-ups, all four of these characters, and they're just weathered, and they're sweating, and the only thing that's in their eyes is just this anticipation of what is in the safe and what they're going to be earning. And it's just, it's amazing. And then, like I said, everybody who's in the film just does a great job. And then the end of the movie is just bleak, but it's great. I mean, it's a very bleak ending, but it's a great ending. It's very chaotic, and just the way it ends, just it's sad, but I love it.
Even beyond heist movies, I've heard good things about Rififi here and there, and I haven't gotten around to seeing it
yet. It's hard to find. I couldn't find it on on demand or Netflix or anything.
You could probably go to the library and get it. They have a lot of Criterion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they do have a lot of Criterion.
I got it on. I think I got it on Netflix when I got the DVD version I had the DVD plan. Yeah, they do have it on Netflix, but only on DVD, not streaming. So check that out. It's a really cool movie. I really enjoy that movie. It's my honorable mentions. And I heard that Al Pacino was going to redo this.
Really?
Yeah, with the director of the movie we did with De Niro, the second one. Not Heat, not the good one.
It came out the perfect.
Yeah.
No, what is it?
I don't know what it's called.
Were they both cops?
Yes, yes. That director and the writer of Inside Man was going to write it. So, but also, again, that writer wrote that movie with Al Pacino
okay.
So it's kind of like he's got one really good Inside Man's amazing script, and then he did, what is that? Do you know what that movie is?
I remember
Righteous Kill. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah. So the writer of Inside Man wrote Righteous Kill, which is not a good movie.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And he was going to also write Rififi for Al Pacino. But yeah, so I'm kind of tempted to see what Al Pacino's version would be, but, you know.
I mean, I love this movie.
That actor's so great.
Yeah. And the way they just develop his character, the way they develop all the core characters is great in the movie, because you feel for all of them. But Tony himself, just like, his following the rules, and the fact that he's been in prison for 7 years and he just got out, and he kind of looks weathered, and he's like kind of ill, and he's coughing throughout the movie because he's been in prison and he's an older guy. But yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Wait, so we're on number two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number two, 2010, The Town.
Ooh.
Ben Affleck's movie.
My honorable mention too.
I was really, cause I liked Gone Baby Gone, But I love The Town. I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed this movie, how it feels like a 70s crime thriller. Like, and it also reminds me a lot of Heat, yes, which would have been on this list if we hadn't already mentioned it, like, on every other podcast that we've done.
I mentioned it on my favorite directors, Michael Mann, and in my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. It's a great movie, and it's a great heist movie. And, like, Heat and Thief both should be on this list, but... Yes. I don't have them on this list. I feel kind of bad, but I mean...
Thief is on my honorable mention, too.
They're both in my honorable mentions. Again, but it's just I feel like we've talked about them too many times. I want to talk about how much I love The Town now.
Yeah.
Because it's a really great movie.
Did you see the extended version on my...
I haven't yet. I borrowed it from you, and I still haven't watched it. Which, of course, I borrowed it in my making the heist list. Didn't even think about it. Haven't watched it yet. And I knew that I was going to put it on the list.
Is the extended version that much better?
I haven't seen it. That's why I wondered.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it.
I will watch your DVD and I will let you know.
Yeah, I've only watched the theatrical version.
But I mean, Ben Affleck, he's a great director. He's made two movies and I've enjoyed both of them. The second one was one of my favorite movies of 2010. Great cast, including Affleck himself. But then you've got John Hamm playing the FBI agent.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner is amazing in this movie. Yeah. He got nominated and
Oscar
nominated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Postlewaite.
Great.
This wasn't his last... Inception was his last movie, right?
I guess...
Well, they were both two...
They were... Yeah, they're both the same year.
Yeah, they're both the same year.
And I think, The Town actually did come out after.
Yeah.
As the florist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love him. He's so good. Especially in this part with that accent that he uses. Chris Cooper as Ben Affleck's dad. Did I say Rebecca Hall already?
Yeah. No, I think... No. I think
okay. Sure. She's great.
Even the girl from...
Lively.
Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah.
She's only in it for a second.
But she's amazing in it. Yeah. She has a good... her accent's amazing. She looks trashy. She's just that character.
She works
character.
Well trashy, yeah.
She plays trashy very well. Yeah. I believe that more than I believe her as a test pilot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. No, why did you have to remind us of that?
Just to put it into perspective.
I made Jenny and my girlfriend Michelle go see that.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And Caitlin too.
Our cousin fell asleep.
Yeah, and I had to take him to another movie to make up for it because I felt guilty. But yeah, that movie's not The Town, but
Green Lantern. Yeah. Well, let's go back to The Town.
The Town is amazing.
It's a great heist movie,
and even the supporting cast, like the other guy
in the gang.
He's just like this Boston. I think he's just a local. I don't think he's even an actor. I think from what I saw in the special features, I think he's not an actor.
Okay. Well, they're all great.
Yes. Everything's really authentic. I feel. Yeah. And the guy that plays John Hamm's partner, the guy from Deadwood, is amazing. He's in Gone Baby Gone as well. He plays the brother to the. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I can't remember.
He plays the brother in Gone Baby Gone. He plays the brother of the girl who loses.
Is he Titus Welliver?
Yes, Titus. He's amazing in Deadwood, and he's amazing in.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's
great. Got the beard and the mustache.
Yep,
mustache man. And he's in Deadwood. He plays a Pinkerton.
Yep.
Okay.
But he's amazing in everything he does as well. And
wait,
you remember him from Gone Baby Gone, right? He was involved in the whole thing. He kind of planned it out.
I can't.
With Morgan Freeman.
Can't remember. I don't remember. Wait, who was he? Was he Adams in, or he was a Pinkerton?
He was a Pinkerton. I think. Yeah.
Well, the anyway, town. Yes. They're gonna rob Fenway Park during a game, similar to the Split robbing during a sporting event. It's not. They don't go into the details as much as like an Ocean's 11 or the Split. Even it's very cut and dry. We're gonna rob the stadium, but it's just everything building up to it and after the fact, and that last Heat like standoff between Jeremy Renner and everyone. It's a great movie.
I really people shit on Ben Affleck that he shouldn't have been in it. Somebody else could have played better. He should have just directed it. But I thought he did a really good job.
I thought he was great.
It's funny I've always thought he was except for Reindeer Game. Come on, Reindeer Game and Paycheck. Why? With the doves?
Yeah.
But I've always been a fan.
I don't blame him for those movies being bad, though.
No, I don't. And I like Ben Affleck as a director and a writer. He's a good writer. He's a good director. And I can't wait to... Each time I hear he's doing a new movie, I can't wait for his new movie, which is...
Argo?
Yeah, Argo. Which is a cool story based on true events.
What's it about?
It's about this, it was a CIA operation, I think, I believe, or FBI, CIA. And basically, they were trying to get some hostages out of, I want to say, Iran, or one of those, it's in the 70s, so I forget who were offended by. One of those Middle East countries, and the CIA puts on a fake movie and goes into that country to film it, and they're really CIA operatives, and they're there to, you know, get a hostage out of there. But they pretend to be a film crew.
Is this based on true events?
Yeah, they're based on true events. Yeah, and I don't know if it's Iran or one of those Middle Eastern countries. But anyway, it's a cool real life story.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, Affleck has made two good movies already, so I'm interested to see what he does next.
So, yeah.
And I heard he was supposed to do the Stand.
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which I guess he's doing this one instead. But I'd see the Stand that Affleck.
Yes, I would.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And it kind of shuts people up. People that were saying, "Oh, Matt Damon and him did not write Good Will Hunting." Of course, look at two movies, and now it makes me question Matt Damon. Did Matt Damon really write Good Will Hunting? He hasn't written anything since then. Ben Affleck, two movies that are amazing. So, and then I also heard it was in an interview with Ben Affleck where he talked about how he turned down Superman, the new Superman.
Directing? Oh, yeah. I remember hearing
about
it.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan offered it to him, and he said that he wasn't ready for that type of, special effects.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. He's like, it's an honor. And actually, he's a big Superman fan. And I guess in the interview, he talked about how it was such a hard decision to say, I'm not ready for this. I should know my limits. And he said he
That's turned pretty
it
good.
Down. Yeah, which, it, you know, kind of makes me, I wish he would have done that. Zack Snyder. It would have been a little better. I hope it's cool. I don't know.
I wish Zack Snyder would turn stuff down.
Yeah, me too. He's like, you know what? I'm not ready for this.
It's like, I'm going to do a small film, guys, because I need to test myself.
Yeah. I want him to do a movie without special effects.
Yeah.
Do another Dawn of the Dead.
One room exactly. drama.
Yeah.
Yes.
One room, five character murder mystery.
It's all talking heads.
Who done it? So we're to number one already?
Yeah, right. We're number one.
Let's do a recap.
Okay, so my number five was The Usual Suspects. My number four was A Fish Called Wanda. My number three was Reservoir Dogs. Two was Bottle Rocket. And my number one was Inside Man.
Oh, that's right.
So there's
my
list. Right. Yeah.
Cool. It is a cool list.
A good group, I think.
Yeah.
So
here we go. My number five was Reservoir Dogs. Number four was Three Kings. Number three was Out of Sight. Two, Bottle Rocket, and my number one is 1964's Band of Outsiders. Really enjoy this movie.
I knew you were going to put this on here.
It's one of my favorite foreign films. It's definitely, Jean-Luc Godard almost made my favorite director's list. But in his, you know, latter years, I just wasn't enjoying his films as I used to, you know, back in the 60s, the early films he did. And this is actually based on an American novel. Doing my research, I realized this is based on an American book, and they did it in France. And it's I'll read the summary. It's two crooks with a fondness for old Hollywood B-movies convince a language student to help them commit a robbery. So it's two characters, Arthur and Frank, and they convince this girl Odile to she tells them about where she lives. There's money, you know, and they should steal it. And she basically gets them involved in this heist. And you got to check it out. It's a fun movie. I don't want to give anything away. I really really enjoy it. It's if you've heard someone say, hey, you know, something about French New Wave, and you're like, what the f is French New Wave? Watch this movie, and this kind of summarizes French New Wave for me, I think. This and, Breathless is kind of summarizes. I don't know for you, Kev. What do you think?
No, I would definitely say that can...
It's kind of like...
As New Wave.
That's what they're describing by New Wave. And New Wave cinema. And I love this director, and it's really well done. And even the
Who
editing...
directed it?
Jean-Luc Godard.
Okay. I haven't seen this.
Really?
I haven't seen much Godard. I was more Truffaut, Louis Malle.
See, you know what? I was always a Godard fan, but just recently I'm more into Truffaut. I'm getting into, you know, a lot of the stuff that I missed, that Truffaut's early stuff that I missed. And who was the guy you mentioned?
Louis Malle.
Oh, yeah.
I love Elevator to the Gallows is one of my favorite movies.
But definitely a big Godard fan, and it's the editing in it is so cool. Sometimes he repeats things, like you'll see somebody like slam a door, and then it cuts to the another angle, and he'll slam the door. Which coincidentally, I noticed, I recently watched 25th Hour, and Spike Lee does that a lot, especially when they're at the club. He hugs the bouncer, and then they cut, and then he hugs them again. Mm-hmm. And it's a really weird, like, I don't know what style of editing that is.
Jump
but
cuts?
It's repetition, which is really interesting, and it definitely flavors the scene differently. And it gives you it gives you a certain feeling for the scene, which I really love. And besides those two films, and I think in Breathless he does it, I think, once or twice. But besides that, I haven't seen anybody do that, that editing technique. I don't know if it's just like a flub or if that's what he intended, which I couldn't, you know, find anything on the internet about that. But really enjoy that film, Band of Outsiders, again. It's a black and white film. If you don't like black and white film,
there's something
not,
wrong with you.
You're not, A, it's something wrong with you, and you're not going to like this movie.
Or you're my dad.
Yeah.
My dad doesn't like black and white.
And it's in French, so if you don't like reading subtitles,
well, there's that too.
You're shit out of luck.
My dad said, I remember he got mad at me once because I taped over his colorized version of King Kong, and I'm like, it was colorized. He's like, I don't want to pay to see a black and white movie. It's like, they have color now. I don't need to watch a black and white movie.
That's awesome. I like that. But he stands by it, you know? He's like, hey, color. I was like, I have a color TV. Why should I get it?
Exactly.
That's his thing. He's like, I'm paying the money. I should get the color.
So your recap and your number one, Kevin.
Okay. So my number five was Inside Man. My number four was Sexy Beast. My number three was The Killing. My number two was Rififi. And my number one comes from 1975, and it's Dog Day Afternoon. I mean, it's a movie where the heist starts off pretty much in the beginning and then it just goes wrong from there. It's directed by Sidney Lumet, who, like you were just saying, Godard might have been on your director's list.
Yeah.
Sidney Lumet was right there as a possibility because there's so many films of his that I watch and go, the directing in this is awesome. But there were just other directors that I liked a little bit more. And then I have to say, I think this may be my favorite Al Pacino performance, as Sonny. Just watching his progression of as he's losing it and as he's breaking down and as he's getting tired and when he's just realizing that things just can't go right and the whole reason he was doing this for was for his lover to have a sex change operation. Yeah. And that it's just not going right and how this is going to end might not end well and just seeing his character who's just really tired and just really sad and there's the one scene where he's on the phone and which I believe I heard later that Sidney Lumet made him keep doing it because he didn't feel that he was broken down enough. So he had him keep doing the scene because he wanted him to just completely break down on the phone as he's talking on the phone. And so he just made him keep doing it over and over and over. And then finally just Al Pacino just broke down on the phone and in that scene. The plot of the film is a man robs a bank to pay for his lover's operation. It turned into a hostage situation at a media circus. Another thing I love about this movie is John Cazale. He is terrific and he died at such a young age and didn't get to do a lot of work, but everything I see him in, he's great.
Well, doesn't he have eight movies or 10 movies?
Yeah, I mean, it's Godfather 1, 2, Deer Hunter.
He was like nominated for like half of them.
Yeah.
Like half of the movies he got Oscar nominations for. And he's, those of you who don't know, he plays Fredo in The Godfather.
Yeah.
And he's amazing in everything he does. He's in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just such a great actor. There's a documentary. It might be on Netflix streaming.
Tell Him Who You Are?
Yes.
Yes.
It's really, really good.
It is.
And was he married to Meryl Streep or they were just dating?
I think he was married. I want to say he was married. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, he is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And he died, you know, with only a few films under his belt, but he was an amazing actor.
Yeah. And on also another terrific performance is Chris Sarandon, who is hysterical and not like funny hysterical. I mean, he's just his character is very hysterical and the way he plays the Al Pacino's lover is just great in the movie. And then the ending of the film is just it's sad and it's just awful the way it ends, and it's somewhat based on a true story.
Yeah,
and I saw this movie too young to appreciate it the first time. I didn't pick up on it the first time, and then when I was a little bit older, I went back and I rewatched it, and like just the emotion.
Yeah,
there's so much emotion in this movie about a bank robbery, and that's the weird thing with heists, where it's like, where's the fall off between what's a heist movie and what's just a bank robbery movie?
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's part of the reason why this one I didn't put. I was like, hey, is it a bank robbery? Is it a heist? I mean, there's so much more emotion involved in it beyond the job. So I was like, I'm just going to let it go for something else. But it's such a good movie.
It is. Yeah. And I mean, just when, like those scenes when Al Pacino runs out and he's just yelling out to the crowd, and it's great.
Yeah. And another Sidney Lumet movie, it's probably not your number one, so it's safe to talk about, I think. Is another Sidney Lumet movie that's a heist, which is Before the Devil Knows
You're Dead. That's one of my honorable mentions.
Which is an amazing movie with Ethan Hawke.
It's an impossible heist. An
impossible heist. And
so I didn't even think of Before the Devil Knows You're Dead as a heist movie, just because, again, it's such a small
part of it.
But I mean, even in the heist, it's such like a... It's a minuscule or like a, I don't know, a trivial heist, but that's not the right word for it.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's, and that movie is really Marisol Tomei and what's the
Philip
other
Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's
Albert Finney.
Yeah, that's right. I heard the scenes
with the two of them.
I guess when they got the script, because really, if you read the script and you see the movie, the actor should have played the other parts.
That's what I heard, that they originally switched.
And then they're like, you know what, let's just switch. And so then Philip Seymour Hoffman played the heavy, and Ethan Hawke played the scared brother.
Yeah.
And it just works so well. It works. Philip Seymour Hoffman has that ability that he could be the weakling, but also play the heavy.
He was an awesome villain in Mission Impossible.
I was just going to mention that. He played it awesome. And you genuinely like believe this guy will end the world.
That was my problem with that movie, was that he's this awesome villain in Mission Impossible 3, and he's in it for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
It was such a waste. I was like, you could have done so much more with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Yeah.
When
he flips towards the end, and I mean, his character's already at a certain point, but when he just crosses that line, he just takes it and runs with it, and he's great.
Yeah. Michael Shannon's also in that.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. So check both those movies out.
Okay. So number one?
Number one.
Number one.
I think I might have to do a list film podcast first. I can't decide between two movies.
It's okay.
So I'm going to have a tie.
Okay.
Okay.
But before I get to my tie, for my recap, I had Sneakers, number five, A Fish Called Wanda, number four, Out of Sight / The Split, because I switched one out already. And then The Town for number two. And then for my number one, I can't decide between The Italian Job or Inception.
Yeah.
I can't.
I saw Inception on a lot of them, and I had never really thought of Inception as a heist movie until I read that for some reason.
Because it's like this weird inverse anti-heist, because they're not stealing something. They're putting something in.
Yeah.
But
it has the architecture.
It's got all the makings of a heist film, except it's just turned on its head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing movie. So smart. I think we talked about it before. And like we're always
talking about Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. Crazy. Wait, did we mention Dark Knight Rises this week yet?
Oh, we haven't. What the hell?
Well, there's still time left. Anyway, so it's just such an amazingly dense, complex movie, and all the planning, and like Soderbergh, He's just got that eye for details.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Nolan does. Mm-hmm. And he just gives us so much. And it's such a rich development of this team. And we learn so much so quickly. And then we're just in the thick of it. Great cast. Leonardo DiCaprio. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Tom Hardy.
Ken Watanabe.
Ellen Page. Michael Caine, who's also in my other tie movie, The Italian Job.
Those are the listeners thinking it's a Mark Wahlberg we're not talking about the
original
Italian Job, and I kick myself for not having seen it yet, but no one owns it.
Your legs are so short, how do you do that?
I know, right? It's crazy. But yeah, I really want to see the original.
The original Italian Job is a lot more fun than the remake. And, well, I mean, it also makes sense because it takes place in Italy. the whole thing.
It doesn't take place.
Right. Yeah.
You mean it doesn't take place in L.A.?
No.
With British cars?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. No, it's actually in Italy. Wow. It's about a job in Italy. Well, I guess, I mean, yeah, no. The Italian Job, the remake, I enjoy the remake for what it is, but it could have been a whole other movie unto itself.
Yeah.
Just like Fast Five. Could have, is what I thought the Brazilian Job, which was never made, was going to be.
Yeah.
No, but the original Italian Job from 1969 with Michael Caine. And, I mean, you've got Benny Hill in it as, like, this crazy professor who's obsessed with chubby women.
which is he just playing himself?
He's just playing himself. They just never play Yakety Sax. Yeah. That's why you might not recognize him as Benny Hill, because he's not sped up. Yeah. I love Noel Coward, though. He plays Mr. Bridger, who's, like, running the whole operation from in prison. And, like, they never really explain why he's so powerful in prison, but he's got all these concessions. It's like, oh, he can go to funerals and leave prison, or he has his own private bathroom time. And it's Noel Coward, and he's just so funny with that dry British Noel Coward-ishness.
Yeah. And they don't have to explain it.
They don't have to explain it. It's such a better movie than the remake. It's so much more fun.
Is it the same storyline?
So in this one, Charlie Croker, it's the same. I think that's the only thing. The character's same name is the same.
Yeah. Oh.
Michael Caine plays Charlie Croker, and he gets out of prison, and he wants to do a job. He's got this idea for this the job to end all jobs in Italy. But his partner is killed by the Italian mob. So Mr. Bridger, the Noel Coward character, decides to finance it for him. I can't remember what it was. Something to do about, like, the Japanese and the Italians getting together to undermine British rule. Is like, we can't have that. So he decides to back.
It was a really dumb reason.
Yeah, he was like, Britain must be the best, and so I will fund your job. And then it's like just getting the ragtag team together, and they've got to get the crazy professor to help him with the computer system, to jam the computer system in Italy. I don't remember what city it's in. But it's also during a sporting event. So that's three sporting event movies. So what I've learned is if you're going to do a heist, sporting event.
Yeah.
Sporting event.
Or New Year's Eve.
Or New Year's Eve.
Like Money Train.
But it's a lot more fun. And it's... the remake of Italian Job, they've got the whole getting the team together and figuring out how to do everything. But the original, it's in the 60s. It's got like that swinging 60s vibe, and Michael Caine's calling everybody birds. And
you can't go wrong with Michael Caine.
It's Michael Caine.
No.
Only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. that's where that line comes from, and it's so funny. It's a much funnier movie than the original.
Yeah.
And you don't have the villain who's being forced to do it because he's under contract.
He really was forced to do that.
Yeah. He was under contract for three movies.
Yeah.
Edward Norton was, and so he had to do the Italian Job. At least that's what I've heard. If he wants to come out and say, no, that's not the case, that's cool. I like Edward Norton. Whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Even if he's under contract, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he always has trouble with he's always in trouble with like some sort of union or lawyers. Ed Norton is. He got in trouble for the Hulk, because he dropped, I guess he didn't want to do it. Because they promised him he'd get credit for writing it, and he did not get credit for writing it.
Well, I just thought there was a lot of back and forth between him and the studio with what he wanted to do, and so, like, because of that friction, he didn't come back.
I'd heard, part of it, I think, was that too, but I think also because they promised him, because he rewrote, he actually is a, he's written a lot of the things he's been in. He rewrote American History X, he rewrote a lot of the cool things.
Frida.
Most of Frida is him.
Yeah,
is him,
which I love.
And he didn't get credit because stupid WGA.
Yeah,
but let's not get into that.
Anyway, so yeah, I can't decide between Inception and Italian Job. They're both great movies, very different movies.
Yeah.
But both very fun.
Yeah.
And I think excellent heist movies.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Really enjoy.
And if you've
Inception.
Never seen the original, the Italian Job, and all you've got is the Marvel, not to slight the Marvel. For what it is, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
If it wasn't called The Italian Job, I'd have nothing bad to say about it. But since it's called The Italian Job, it's not The Italian Job, though. So,
it's The L.A. Job.
Yeah, it's The L.A. Job.
And for those of you who haven't seen the original Inception, also with Michael Caine. no, that's not true. But so there's our list. Anything else? Any honorable mentions you guys want to talk about? Jenny? Give us your honorable mentions. Let's see.
So I know you guys talked about in remakes Ocean's 11, but that is really one of my all-time favorite heist movies. But yeah, so that's why I put it in honorable.
Yeah, and I also saved it for my con movies. One of these days we're going to do a con, like a confidence spoiled your own list. You don't know if it's the original or the new one or the remake.
Oh, that's true.
Or the 13th. So yeah, I wanted to add that one. And The Killing and The Town and Heat. And I also really enjoyed The Thomas Crown Affair. And I haven't seen the original either of that one. But the reason I enjoyed The Thomas Crown Affair so much is because of all the art references. And so, and I'm a huge art fan. So it's not like one of my favorite movies or like even in my top heist movies. But it's because of all the references.
You're not just an art fan. Yeah, I think you're an art major, right?
Yeah, I was.
So you can say it.
I like art. Okay?
Throw it down.
We're not going to judge you for that. Yeah.
I have this thing called art in my life.
So I mentioned a lot of your guys' movies were on my honorable mention, but the ones that weren't are Welcome to Collinwood. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I was thinking about really funny. So that would have meant for three George Clooney movies.
Yes, exactly.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about Rafifi and the looks on their faces when they're getting through. It just as soon as you said that and the bleak ending, I was like, oh, that's like Welcome to Collinwood, right?
Yeah. And it's got such a great cast. It's got Sam Rockwell. It's got Michael Jeter. It's got George Clooney in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
tattooed, you know, ex-con. And he's really funny in that. You gotta check it out. And I also have, we didn't mention, The Pope of Greenwich Village.
See, nice. That was in the running, but I've only seen it once. Yeah. And I loved it, but I don't remember it enough to put it on a list for heist movies.
Eric Roberts.
Yeah. He's great.
He's got the perm. He's just such a loser, man. But
what year was that one?
That was, I'll tell you, 1984.
And then what year was Star 80? Because like, I feel like those two movies together were like a 1-2 punch for Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
Just being awesome.
I don't know what.
I love both of those movies. Well, even though I've only seen Pope once. The one time, that was enough. It was really good.
And both of those guys in their heyday, both Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts. So check that out as
Eric Roberts aged a little bit better than Mickey Rourke, but I mean, he didn't become a boxer. So
Yes. But you know what? Eric Roberts, it's funny. I just heard him on a podcast, and he was in Octoshark, I think. And he's just taking like whatever that he's like in a B movie called Octoshark.
Octoshark? Sharktopus.
Yeah. Because Ralph Garman's in that. He talks about it all the time on Hollywood Babylon.
And I just love that he does that. That he's like, yeah, screw it. I'll do whatever. How much are you paying? You guys got good food? All right, I'll do it.
I just remember him being in that music video for The Killers. I was like, what?
That's right.
Oh, that's
He's
right.
wearing like eyeliner, I think, isn't he?
I think if you're in a Killers music video, you have to. It's contractual obligation.
And I think he is another actor who makes things a lot cooler when he's in them.
I really like it.
Expendables.
Yeah.
Runaway Train.
Oh, Runaway Train. John Voight. Yeah. Rebecca De Mornay is in that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I love that movie. That movie is so underrated.
That movie terrified me when I was younger.
Me too. I didn't want to get on trains.
Did not want to get on trains.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. What if Eric Roberts and I didn't want to see
John Voight. And that guy who plays the
cop?
Yeah, he was scary as fuck.
Isn't he also the cop in First Blood, Rambo?
No, that's Brian Dennehy.
No.
Oh, the one that falls out of the helicopter.
It's him, right?
Spoiler alert.
There's a guy that falls out of a helicopter. But yeah, I think it's the same actor, right? Am I right?
You talk about something else while
Kevin, your honorable mentions.
Let's see. The only ones that weren't mentioned were Asphalt Jungle from 1950, another Sterling Hayden heist movie, and another movie that I really loved that almost made the top five, which was Bob Le Flambeur, Bob the Gambler from 1956. And I just loved the way that it ends, how it goes like a stereotypical heist film, but the ending is completely different, and the fact that they actually don't go through a heist in the end is great.
And well, there's also the movie called Heist.
Yeah,
that's
there's
David
like,
Mamet.
There's like
David
six Mamet. Movies called Heist. Yeah. The Heist.
Yeah, and I do love that movie. It just kind of.
I mean, it's a Mamet movie.
It's a Mamet movie, and I feel like a lot of Mamet movies are heist movies. Like House of Cards is a
House of Cards.
Yeah,
is,
so.
Yeah.
All those should be honorable mention, but
The Spanish Prisoner.
I would just put in general. I would put that in a con movie. I put that in a like grifter movie, but I put just David Mamet on my list.
Nice.
Bam.
So John P. Ryan plays Warden Rankin in Runaway Train, and he's not in First Blood.
Nope. Oh, okay. It's another guy.
But he's in It's Alive.
Oh. So that's good. That's what he's got going for himself.
Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
Did you do your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions? Wait, so I didn't hear Kevin's. I was busy.
Asphalt Jungle and Bob Le Flambeur.
Okay. I believe you. I don't know what that second one is.
It's Bob the Gambler. It's another French film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So another one that I didn't put on the list, also because we mentioned it a lot before, Ronin.
Yes, oh, yeah. We mentioned
it. Yeah. And then Killing Zoe.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Snatch, which I mean, again, the heist at the beginning and then nothing else after, which really deals with the heist. Thief, like I said before, with Heat. Harlem Nights.
I guess
Eddie Murphy's directing him and Richard Pryor in a period piece about the 40s with Danny Aiello and gangsters, and it's a fun heist movie. It's not the greatest movie, but I love it.
It's called Party Harlem all the time.
And The Great Muppet Caper.
Nice.
That's
I didn't think about that
that's
one.
That's a different honorable. I love the baseball diamond and Lady Holiday and Charles Grodin leading a team of women jewel thieves.
Yeah.
It's such a fun movie.
Not a fan of the Muppets.
Oh, boo.
Just the Muppet Babies. But anyway, so that's it. That's all of our lists. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Check out our website and we want to hear some of your favorite movies are on our topic. So when this episode posts on iTunes, go on over to our website and you can comment on our post for that week. And so tell us, what are some of your favorite heist movies? We have an all new website where you can comment now, and we'd like to hear your movies. Maybe something we missed, maybe something that insulted you about this episode that you're like, no, the Italian Job, the new Italian Job should have been on there. Tell us about that. Why? Is it because of Marky Mark?
Marky Mark.
Yeah. But anyway.
If you're Mark Wahlberg and you don't like us calling you Marky Mark.
Talk to us. Let us know about that. What should we call you? Mr. Wahlberg or Mark or Markiford? I don't know what you're... Yeah.
Wally?
So check us out there at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook at the, what is it?
It's the List Film Podcast.
The List Film Podcast at Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then you can find me on Twitter at Ricardo Ultreras. That's Ricardo Ultreras.
You can find me at Jenei. That's JEHNEIGH.
I'm at @UnAdamScott, @AN_AdamScott with 2 T's.
And I'm at K Zuberbier. That's ZUBERBIER.
Yeah, and for those of you, I've gotten this question a lot. No, it's not that Adam Scott. Not the guy from Party Down or Parks and Rec. It's a different Adam Scott.
We don't even really sound alike.
I know.
No. Yeah.
But what's funny is that I've gotten that question. Do you guys have the guy from Parks and Rec? Yes. When he's not doing Parks and Rec, he's here with us.
We should just tell people that that's who I am until we get him to be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. To clarify that.
Yeah.
Two Adam Scotts don't make a right. So check us out on the website, Twitter. Let us know some of your favorite movies. Let us know some of the topics you want us to talk about in the future. We always appreciate that, and it's helpful. It helps us do work and think of lists. No, it's not work.
We need motivation.
Yeah. Give us some good topics to talk about. All right. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it, and that's it. Have a good week.